All human thought, all science, all religion is the holding of a candle to the
one's heart. Are we human because we gaze at the stars? Or do we gaze at the edge of cosmology? Point that's right.
When the stars were right, they could plunge from world to world to the sky. When the stars were wrong, they could not live. But although they no longer lived, they would never really die.
When the universe is vast and inexplicable, and you are weak and insignificant, then you know you are playing Call of Cthulhu. This is an actual play of Call of Cthulhu 7th edition, featuring adult themes and horror. Listener discretion is advised. Find our published scenarios at starsareright.com or contact us for help unleashing your own twisted tales upon an unsuspecting world. And now, settle in, dear listener. Intrigue, high adventure, and cosmic horror await when the stars are right.
Hello and welcome back, listeners. Today we will be playing session 31 of The Children of Fear, written by Lynn Hardy and friends and published by Chaosium. Who are you all playing and how are you today, Hal?
I'm playing Dr. Eudora Lockhart, freshly recovered from heatstroke and hungry for some fruit salad.
Brayden.
Hey, playing Frederick Kingsley Ward, forgot the name. And I'm going to put all my chips on these magical dice.
Noxicals.
I am playing Timur Stepanovich Rapin, and I think having tasted death, I'd rather taste dumplings.
Lydia.
Hi, I'm playing Hasina Moez, and the gods just sent me to the naughty corner.
And I'm Fedra, your keeper for the day, and I'm finding myself not able to let this pun go. Anyway, let's go have a mango.
Oh, no.
They're getting surreal. Drawn out. They're turning into the pun version of those Shaggy Dog story jokes that just like meander along and then don't have a punchline.
That is the worst thing anyone has ever said.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Noxicals, tell us what happened last time.
Falling through the void, even the most stalwart of the party find themselves unable to process what has happened. Eudora succumbs to her grief. Shen Chu burns with a sense of betrayal. Hasina develops a fear of the dead that can only be eased by consuming them. Timur forgets all that has happened since the lecture in Peking. And Frederick bemoans his lost ukulele. A lot. Landing in a strange bowl-shaped depression, our heroes see wildly different visions of the terrain around them. Eudora and Timur see beautiful crystal mountains, mythical creatures and flying Jetsons cars. Hasina and Frederick see a hellish landscape of blood, bone and carrion. Drawn towards a parkland palace, our heroes meet three strange figures, very different looking for each pairing, who tell them they are in the northern city of peace. The figures help to soothe the party's physical and mental hurts with snow lion milk, and then offer them a chance to explain their actions. Truths are told, secrets are revealed, sorry Eudora, and a chance to redeem themselves is offered. By returning to Earth, there is still a chance to reverse what they have inadvertently done. Stepping through yet another magical gate, our adventurers find themselves back on Earth, they think, in a tent on an archaeological dig site in India. After some miscommunication with an officious Englishman, the friends beat a hasty retreat before they're set upon by burly labourers. They don't get far, however, as a strange storm descends, bringing dark clouds and scorching hot winds. The party shelter in another nearby tent, and several of them succumb to heatstroke. A sage old Indian gentleman tells them that the storm is referred to locally as the Lu Winds. He is troubled as they have blown in far earlier than is normal, and from the wrong direction. When the worst has passed, the party look through the tent flaps and find the vegetation outside has been scorched and killed, save for one lonely mango tree.
So you look up through the scorched site where everything has disintegrated. It's muddy and there is one mango tree somehow still standing, mysterious.
Knowing plants. Mangoes don't have some kind of fireproofing, do they?
I reckon anyone with base in natural world knows that mango trees aren't fireproof.
Have you not seen all the firemen wrapped in mangoes to try and protect themselves during the backdrafts?
I do have a thought on this. When we went to the valley where the Dakinis was, and there was all the fruit trees, I remember Tenzin said that mango trees were among the trees which were sacred in charnel grounds.
Mm. Indeed. Mm.
I think we've got death mangoes.
This is a blessing or a curse. Who's going to eat it?
The old man stares at the mango tree in awe. This is extraordinary. I need to get a better look. And he starts heading towards it.
Oh, no, you don't. We've got our own plant boy. We hoist Frederick atop our shoulders and set off.
Are you saying Eudora basically shouts, dibs?
Anything with plants is my business.
Dibs.
I think Eudora is still lying weakly on the floor of the tent, like, is that a mango I spy? No. But you guys can.
I imagine that, I mean, if all of my heat stroke patients are mostly alive, I imagine I'll follow the old dude. I'm not going to, like, race him and elbow him out of the way, though.
Push him in the mud.
This is a special...
They're mine! All mine!
Last one to the mango tree's the rotten egg!
Must be a new species. I'll name it after myself. Get out of the way.
Who goes to look at the mango tree?
Yeah, Hasina will go.
I'll go as well.
Timur's on it.
Are Eudora and Senchu the only people with heatstroke?
Oh, I have it too.
You have
I was
too.
Fine. Hasina was fine.
Hasina's always fine. We know this.
Yeah, she's tough.
Yeah, Eudora's still cruising along with a solid 3 HP and a penalty die until she can make it to 5 somehow. So forgive me if I'm not much use here. I'm walking wounded.
So does that mean that Frederick is too ill to go and look at the mango tree?
I think Eudora was extra rough.
Yeah, I got double her, although...
I think it's because you got a major wound out of it.
Oh, yeah, that'll be it. Yeah. All our listeners who just binged the last two episodes are just screaming into their headphones, but I can't remember what happened a week ago. Sorry, guys.
What's your character called again?
Upon closer examination, the mango tree has been completely unharmed by the strange Lu wind. Unlike those around it that have lost all their leaves, the tree also appears to be in full fruit, with many ripe mangoes hanging heavily from its branches. They're completely unblemished by the burning storm that has just passed through. How unusual.
How wide a sort of protected arc is there? I mean, how much of the ground around it is unscorched?
Well, the ground is muddy. It's not scorched because rain fell after the storm. So the ground is... It's the vegetation that's been scorched. The ground is mud.
So is there any way of seeing if it sort of like went around... Do you know what I'm getting at? Can I see whether it sort of went around it or whether there was a...
No, it's not clear because of the rain that came after. The ground is all pretty uniform, muddy because of the rainstorm.
Something was protecting this tree.
The smell of the ripe fruit is both mouth-watering and intoxicating.
How many mangoes are there on the tree?
Many.
Many mangoes.
Unlimited mangoes.
It's a tree of unlimited mangoes.
You pull one out, a new one grows instantly in its place. No, not that magical.
I might reach up and pluck off the closest mango. Don't know why that sounded rude in my mind.
You are now holding a mango.
Lose 20, Stan.
Yeah. Timur, my tall friend, will you pluck me down one?
You can't reach.
Yes, I can reach another one.
The older man comes closer as well. He looks at you and he's like, you wouldn't mind. Could I also?
One for me?
If anybody has a basket, I will fill it up.
I believe I do have one. Give me a moment. He goes and returns with a basket.
Quick, while the old man's gone, steal all the mangoes.
You don't want that to go on your karma.
No, I'm not going to scrump a bunch of mangoes for an old man.
That would be way worse than beheading Tenzin.
The old man returns with a basket. Do you grab mangoes for Eudora as well?
Yeah, I will fill the basket with mangoes with a view to keeping at least one each for the party, because I'm assuming that this is in some way an omen or a sign. You know, at this point, everything seems relevant, even if it totally isn't. You know, I've lost all sense of reality.
Didn't your friend eat some kind of fruit to
peaches,
live?
I believe.
Yeah.
Can I get an occult Buddhism or Hinduism role from any and all who know about the mangoes?
Okay.
Gladly. I have Buddhism as the highest, ridiculously.
Ooh.
Hey.
That is not a pass, though.
I was 3 off a pass, but I'm kind of reluctant to spend luck because I'm way down on 27.
Oof.
It's quite low.
Probably
giving
not
us less than
it,
a quarter of a chance on group luck seems like a poor move.
Yeah, I think possibly mango trivia is not worth the sacrifice at this point.
We don't even have Tenzin here to explain things to us anymore.
No. Well, the old man.
Yes,
I was going to say. New Tenzin.
Replacement Tenzin.
Why do I hate wheels? Anyway, here's some exposition.
The old man grabs a mango and starts eating it. Like, this is the most refreshing fruit I've ever tasted. Oh, his face lights up in enjoyment.
Hasina's kind of watching him carefully in case
he drops.
Sprouts tentacles or something.
He says, you know, the mango tree is associated with many deities, Yakshinis, renowned protectors of treasure, in fact.
Hang on a minute.
Treasure?
Are we after any treasure? What was the yellow note again? Quick, to the mirror board.
They were given the task of distributing Sakyamuni Buddha's remains among 84,000 stupas built to house them by King Ashoka as proof of his reformed character. Delicious.
Well, that does sound good. Here, let me try one.
It is indeed the most refreshing fruit you've ever tasted as well, and remove your heat stroke penalty die.
The mangoes. They are very good.
Somewhere in the back of your mind,
you feel
Dora's
much
spirit
better.
Whispering. Perhaps I would like a much greater heals heat stroke.
Let's take these.
I'm
back
sure
to
I
the
remember Eudora saying she really hates mangoes. Like, they make her physically sick.
These are very, very good. Let's take some back to the tent.
Yes.
Seems like a good plan.
Old man, will you join us?
I would like to observe this tree a bit longer. I am amazed by the wonder. Well, I do wonder if there's any treasure underneath it.
You're right. God damn it, you are right.
Just like the legends say.
Well.
Presumably that's what this dig site is looking for.
Oh, I who am I again? He's doing great.
That guy has dementia or something.
If we wish to dig under a tree, how will we do so without being set upon by burly labourers again?
One seems to be hiding at the moment.
Yep, frightened.
So we could quickly fetch the shovels and dig up an entire tree?
We could dig around it. We wouldn't have much time, but we could try.
The old man is the caretaker of this place and the night watchman. That's great. Good for him.
So he instantly summons the guards as soon as he mentions shovels.
Does he tell us that?
You probably had like a quick introduction to each other in the tent when you were sheltered by the wind, maybe. Or he can say, I know that this expedition here has nothing to do with this tree, but, well, I am so honored to be the caretaker of a place where such a miracle has occurred.
Mango tree root systems are relatively thin on the outside, so we should be able to dig around the exterior without damaging the tree too much.
Is that a real thing, or is Frederick trying to bluff this mango tree?
Frederick loves trees.
Opposed role versus the tree.
If he's the night watchman, can we persuade him to let us in at night and we could have the whole night to do it? And then we could, you know, say we're going to share whatever treasure we find with him or something. That could be sensible, and that would mean the labourers aren't going to be after us.
Oh, you could try to convince him to tell the labourers to stop hunting you right now.
That too.
Because then you'd have to go and find a place to sleep and then return, and you don't know where you are and you don't have many things on you.
This is true.
I say we just dig up the tree.
Yeah, let's just dig up the tree.
Well, I think we should sort of ask permission from the nice old man, right? We should sort of say...
Well, he clearly wants to see what's underneath it.
Well, so we should say that, right? We should say, you know, do you wish to see what is under the tree? We are also fascinated by what has happened. And although we may look an unlikely group, we are followers of some of the local legends.
Clearly this is a sign that we are supposed to do this.
Oh, indeed.
We have seen many things in recent months. And it would be an honor to take a look at what may be beneath this tree if you would help us to avoid the ire of the laborers and interfering Englishmen.
And you would be amongst the first to see what's down there.
And, what brings you here again? I'm afraid I haven't had the pleasure. Who are you? Are you working on this site with the archaeologists?
The lady in the tent is the renowned Dr. Eudora Lockhart.
Oh, does he know any archaeologist? That's for that?
I don't know, but I'm very carefully not lying.
Oh, indeed, I haven't heard of her. What?
She is very well known in her field. We've travelled all the way from the university in Peking.
At a long way to travel. And what made you so interested in the Mahavihara? It is such a wonderful place, indeed.
You will have to forgive me. I am a guard of sorts and a general fixer, shall we say.
Fixer, like a caretaker.
Yes, but of people.
Admittedly, I'm a botanist. I'm just here for the trees.
The trees? There's usually nothing unusual about the trees here.
Well, you'd think that. Not in the eyes of a botanist.
And we have been through many places with interesting plants on our travels.
Speaking of plants, I'm sure the good Dr. Eudora would enjoy one of these mangoes. Be a second. And I'll take a mango over to her and then a mango over to Shinshu.
Are you taking them one at a time? Or are you holding two mangoes at the same time?
It sounds the most inconvenient to take them one at a time, so I will do that.
I was just about to praise Frederick for being unusually thoughtful, and then when he shows up with a single mango and explains that he has to go back to get the other one, I'm just confused.
To say, oh, yes, Shenzhu, I forgot about you. And then...
you go ahead, Shenzhu, I'll wait for this bizarre chap to make his way back.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about the child one. One moment.
Oh, Eudora, I forgot about you.
It's a very small mango for you.
Calming.
And there you go.
Do we Get any HP? Any sweet, sweet?
Unfortunately, HP are not relevant, but you remove your penalty dice.
That'll do.
This strange man out here is asking archaeological questions. Join us, won't you?
Really?
Eudora, who has been busy, just in case anybody cares, she picked up a piece of like string or whatever that had come loose from tying a tent flap down, has tied it in a loop and has been trying to teach Shen Chu cat's cradle. And at this point...
while she was down with a heat stroke.
She's just been lying on the ground, like, dazedly explaining how important it is to know, like, the five basic knots. And I don't know squat about cat's cradle, but Eudora does. And Shen Chu, bless her, is probably humouring her a little bit. I don't know. But at this point, it's playtime's over. Someone said archaeology, so it's go time. So I'm going to grab a... If there's a handy stick, like, from a lot of vegetation stuff that got tossed around, I'm gonna use that and hobble on over with my 3 HP to talk archaeology with this chap. Hello, I don't think we've really been introduced, have we? I'm Eudora Lockhart. I offer my hand.
Oh, the archaeologist.
Oh, you've heard of me?
From your friends.
Ah, yes. And you are?
You can call me Vidyapati.
Vidyapati. Charmed. This is Shen Chu, my apprentice.
Oh, hello there. And I was just asking your friends, what brings you to this place? You can see that the laborers are in the distance, but they have seen you talk to him. So they're keeping a certain distance, but also keeping an eye.
Definitely going to cast a couple of nervous glances their way and try and make a big show of being friendly with this guy. Ah, yes. So I'm going to like reach out and take him by the shoulder and I don't know, drop my stick in the... No, I've got two hands. Still holding my stick. Does Eudora have any idea what's going on here? Is this an archaeological dig that she would have heard about?
You already rolled archaeology and failed.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to try and push?
My shame.
You need a hard archaeology.
Dang it. I have about third odds of getting a hard archaeology.
You can push it, but if you fail...
Yeah, I don't want to wreck our link to the one guy who's...
Exactly the wrong information.
Okay. I feel like we just need to become friendly with this guy, right? We don't have to convince him we know what's going on. We just need a plausible reason for why we're here.
Yeah, I think so.
Perhaps it's... a good idea just to tell him the truth.
Oh boy. Do you think he's credulous enough to believe we got catapulted here from wherever we were?
I mean, we could have done it before a bunch of times and it would have worked.
That's an interesting point. We could have gotten those bowls without stealing them.
Yeah, that's it. Let's just tell him the truth. We were dead a little while ago.
Thanks for joining us on our occult investigations. If you'd like to hear more, you can progress along the path of wisdom at patreon.com/starsareright. All patrons get episodes a week early, completely ad-free. Cult initiates and above gain access to locked Discord channels with our cast and crew, as well as exclusive system-agnostic scenarios ready to run for your friends using your favorite RPG rule set. At the Cult Elder tier, you can peer beyond the madness and join us for behind-the-scenes chat recorded after every episode, including keeper tips and maddening insights that don't make it into the main podcast. You also get hours of bonus gameplay, including our exclusive campaign Le Cirque du Sabbat and the playtests for our original scenarios. Finally, our most generous supporters, the Avatars, are eligible to join members of our cast to play original adventures before they're released. All our patrons have our undying gratitude. Your support keeps this podcast going, and we love every one of you.
Okay, we could good cop, bad cop this guy. Or rather, we could credulous cop, skeptical cop this guy. Like, one of us could be like, well, you see, we're on a mystic vision quest from beyond. And then if he's like, what? Then we can be like, ha ha, that's just Timur. He gets these weird notions. Anyway, we're actually journalists.
I still reckon he was quite intrigued by the idea of treasure underneath the tree, and I think promising to share that with him, I think that might also be a way in to get him to help.
He didn't seem like very fascinated. It was more of a passing comment.
Okay.
So there weren't little like dollar signs in his eyes, no. Or rupee or whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the type. He's like an old man with a traditional loincloth and long-sleeved shirt and a thick thatch of white hair. He looks very wise.
Or it could be like, hey, let's see if these stories are true. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, let's the Apache. Does anyone know Indian? Yes. Hasina, yeah. You know that Vidyapati means master of knowledge.
Oh, okay.
And it's probably a nickname because it's not a name.
Right, okay. Well, in that case, Hasina's going to... Well, he's in earshot, so she won't do it now. But when she gets a moment that he's not there, she'll say that to the group.
I guess not yet, because you're all there.
Yeah.
He's still not moving in and out.
He's just waiting for us to tell him why we're here. We're just like standing there looking at each other like, oh.
Hadjo. Okay, give us a moment there, Hadjo. Okay.
You guys haven't even told him your names, have you?
Yeah.
He's like, so who are you people? We're like, give us a second.
You're like, I'm just going to go bring the other one.
You can definitely trust us.
Yep.
I guess we exchange a meaningful glance. Do we want it to be along the lines of let's lie to this guy or let's play it straight and see where this goes?
Let's play it straight. This guy seems nice.
I mean, I've deliberately not lied so far, really.
Yeah.
You know, we did travel from Peking. I am sort of the caretaker. You are the world famous Dr. Eudora Lockhart.
Well,
I don't know if
somewhat world famous to a certain degree of celebrity.
Maybe Hasina will try and work in the thing about lover of knowledge into the conversation if it crops up. There seems to be a good part.
How about this? How about we just start recounting the legends we've been part of? Like, have you heard of the Gates of Agartha? And stuff, and just see if he lights up with like, oh, well, you know, those old stories, haha, what fools. Or if he's like, oh, no, I love indestructible seeds and shit.
And also the archaeological dig sites that you went to in China.
Yeah, the whole shebang. We just give him a... We're like, listen, we don't have time for it all now, but there's a website you can go to listen to all our adventures. And if you sign up on Patreon, you can get our after-show commentary as well.
Just got to wait another 80 years for the internet to be invented, but, you know.
Okay, can we assume that we just, like, start giving him a recap of the, like... We started in the Cave of the Thousand Buddhas, and then, have you heard of these legendary monks, and, they have interesting ideas about, you know, Kings of Fear and such like.
He listens with interest. He returns with some of his old legends about the Bihar, this area that you're in India, and also about the specific area that you're in, the Mahavihara excavation site. He seems to have extensive knowledge of folk tales and local lore, but he's very fascinated about folk history in general, so he hears you with some interest.
This is so fascinating to listen to. Your name, Vidyapati, in my language it means master of knowledge. You are so learned about local folklore. You must be interested to know if this story of treasure beneath a mango tree is true. I think we should, while nobody is looking, maybe we should investigate. What do you think?
Well, my nickname actually was given to me by the British mockingly at first, although I do like to think I've proved my worth in assisting the archaeologists with the area of the local lore. And I'm afraid, I've heard that there are some strangers in this site that, have been quite rude to the archaeologists, and I've been told to keep an eye out for them, and, well, I have been wondering whether you know them, or perhaps maybe they've just been misplaced and they have a good reason for being here. And I will ask you again, who am I? Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Eudora is sweating profusely. I don't think she should be the one to talk this out.
Very well. Frederick Kingsley Ward is my name. Please, just call me Mr. Ward. It's nice to meet you.
And I'm Hasina Moyes.
Timur Stepanovich Rapin.
And of course, Mrs. Eudora Lockhart.
Doctor.
Doctor. Very sorry.
And Shenchu.
And Shenchu are a very unlikely group of people, one would say.
Listen, that was all a big misunderstanding, honestly. We've been on the road a long time, I'd say. Seen some things. We didn't mean... we just... this tree is...
We were deceived.
Deceived, do you say?
Led astray. And we've wound up here through one way or another.
One way or another?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you, my friend.
Our tale is much more complicated than you might be willing to believe.
We've travelled further than most others would credit.
I have heard many a complex tale. Study them, indeed. I'm afraid I can't let just anyone who tells me that the story is too complex be in a private excavation site, let alone in a...
Have you heard of the Gate of Agatha?
Can't say I have.
Oh boy.
Eudora's going to give a better summary than I can, because it's been a while since Tenzin expounded on these. But I'd like to spill the beans at this point, because I think we can dance around forever, but eventually we're going to have to tell this guy what's the haps.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and sell him on the idea the Gates of Agatha are opening.
You do have a thing on you that might help you with your journey.
What, a small bit of paper?
Tenzin's head.
Are you carrying this?
This old thing?
I'm wearing it as a hat, is that...
You have a note.
Right, but it's not like written in Elvish or something. It's just like we could have come up with this. He doesn't know it's from Lion Elves.
But no, but it's very cool.
Deceived.
Okay.
Bring it out.
Well, Eudora in that case does hold it up as if it clinches it. You see? Aha!
I see. Well,
do you know what this means? And also what day it is? They wouldn't tell us in that tent. Honestly, I think he was rude.
So what you're saying is you traveled through time and space to get here without knowing the reason why you're here?
I told you it would be hard to believe.
The reason is this mango tree right here.
Well, it's a little odd, you've got to admit, and we...
Awesome dice.
Yes.
Possibly the dice, yes.
Damn dice. They can we have them by any chance?
Well, maybe you. How do you feel about peaches?
Yes.
You cannot take the dice, I'm afraid.
We're here to atone for a terrible sin. And we are... frankly, at this point, simply trusting that that fate is going to reveal itself and that our wits are going to serve us in deciphering whatever this is. We didn't exactly depart wherever we were with a full mission brief.
May I see your note?
Do be careful with it. We don't have a copy. We should make a copy.
He eats
it. It's all we have right now. Oh. He eats it. Tucks it between two slices of mango and eats it like a sandwich.
were the holy ones who brought the divine knowledge to the land of snows first honed their understanding. Seek out the charts. Well, there is no doubt that this is exactly where the holy ones honed their understanding first, at Nalanda University right here. So it seems like you are in the correct place to find your jars.
Yep. But that's wondrous news.
The jars.
We have merch! Get our lovely logo emblazoned across a hoodie, on a tote bag, on a onesie for your baby, or a bandana for your dog. Fill your wardrobe with it, wallpaper your house with it, tattoo it on your face. Or, you know, just pick up a t-shirt to support the show and let people know that you have great taste in podcasts. Find the link in the episode description or at starsaright.com/merch.
I mean, there are plenty of jars here, but...
Any that hold a key of any sort?
Well, not really. They're archaeological finds.
Do tell me, Mr. Vidyapati, was this mango tree here before the scorching winds?
Well, there were plenty of mango trees. If it was this one or another one, it would have been very hard to tell. None of the other mango trees survived, so there's something.
There is something special about this particular tree.
It may seem crazy. I wouldn't have believed in any of this a few weeks ago, but believe me, now I believe in all sorts. Gods, mango trees, stegosaurus jellyfish, the whole nine yards. I think this is a prophecy.
Well, I get the sense that you might be correct.
Can you help us? I know it is hard to believe, but I genuinely believe that the fate of the world may be at stake.
I can ask my burly friends over there to let you go, but I can't think of any other way I can help.
How would they feel about us digging up this tree?
The tree is its own. It's the tree you must ask.
Tree? Are you attached to this particular piece of ground? How would you feel about a transplanting?
I don't mind at all, Eudora.
The bark just grows a mouth. Would you like another mango?
Frederick's listening as close as physically possible. He's never wanted something to talk back more in his life.
Aww.
I was just doing this ironically. I was going to look at the guy and, like, smirk, but does the tree do something?
No.
Okay.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Will that, will that suffice?
He shrugs.
We'll be gentle, right? Gentlemen? We'll transplant it carefully. Yes?
Yes.
I'm concerned with that karmic balance. I don't think we should upset any sacred trees.
I'm sure Frederick knows how to dig up a tree without harming it.
I've done this many times, yes.
Perhaps we dig a hole and then move it? I don't know how these things work. There weren't many trees in Degar.
That would be the exact process. In fine detail.
Let me know when you start doing anything.
We stand around for another half hour, so...
Roll for gardening.
Yeah, will he help us avoid being overrun by burly labourers and angry archaeologists? And
if yeah, he will, he's gone and asked them to step away.
Then let's find some fantastic tools and make a start.
Yeah, we probably want, like, a big tarpaulin or something to kind of put it in a sling and then kind of, I don't know, drag it to the other hole that we're going to dig, I imagine.
I bring out my botany kit and I take off my giant backpack, pull out my shovels. They're fold down, of course, and then hand them out.
Telescopic shovels.
Yep.
What backpack?
I never don't wear my backpack.
Not even during the ritual when you were?
We put all our stuff outside the circle, and then we got teleported here through hell. I don't know.
He's been keeping one collapsible shovel in a very special place, just in
this
case.
This is an archaeological dig. Let's just go get some shovels.
I'm sure there's some shovels lying around.
But what if they're not rotten-y shovels?
Yeah, exactly.
What if the tree doesn't like them?
And it's the only way it makes sense that my ukulele got sucked into a void.
And for that, we are all thankful. Especially after spending what felt like 100 years in hell with him.
We find some shovels and dig. Yeah.
But I super want to dig a giant hole in the scorching Indian sunshine after having just gotten heat stroke.
There was rain afterwards, so it's better now.
Is the temperature all right now? Yeah. Okay, good stuff.
I still think we probably want to be sensible, right? We're probably not going to let Eudora do much. I mean, Eudora can help direct, but we're not going to let her dig if she's practically dead.
She's going to try. She lives to dig.
She can sit in the shade and bring us mangoes while we work, maybe.
What a good idea.
I would suggest that we save Eudora's strength for when we possibly find something, because she will be the best equipped person to tell us how to not break anything.
That makes sense.
Ooh, now you're talking.
Yes, I am indeed talking.
Maybe I will have that sit down.
As soon as the first shovel touches the ground, lightly disturbing the tree's roots, the ripe mangoes that are left begin to fall from the tree, exploding on impact with the ground and spraying sticky orange pulp everywhere. The exposed pits darken before your eyes and then rupture, releasing small, black, wriggling snakes that slithered straight towards you.
This is a bad sign, right?
Oh my lord.
What does everyone do? You have one reaction.
How many snakes? God.
Many snakes.
I stab the closest snake with a shovel.
Is there anything nearby to jump on?
Timur?
You can take steps back. There's nothing to jump on.
Steps back, then.
Steps back also here.
I was about to head to the shade with Shen Chu, so I'm just gonna grab her collar and, both of us step back real fast.
As soon as you attack the snake, the tree starts opening and a beautiful, voluptuous young woman, largely naked, but for a long cloth draped across her hips and the vibrant garland of mango trees and asoka tree blossoms around her neck, clambers down from the tree's branches and stands before you. Can everyone roll sanity, please?
I mean, this isn't even the weirdest thing we've seen today. Come on.
Oh, I failed real hard.
Timur's passed.
Wow.
How did Shen do? Shen is less sane than me. Oh, Shen has failed.
A fail is 1d3.
1d3? Oh.
Very comfortable pass.
Shen has lost one, luckily.
3 points of sanity loss for Frederick.
Well, Frederick can take it.
That's 2 points for you, Dora.
She walks down and says, "Why are you disturbing my tree?"
Who is the party face now?
No one.
God.
Frederick, funnily enough, has 30 points? How many points? 34 points in persuade. Yeah.
Okay.
He just annoys them until they submit to his will.
Just bores them with things about plants.
I'm guessing he's not rocking a lot of charm.
No. Ask his wife.
We seek the jars that hold the key to locking that should never have been unlocked by mortal hands.
We meant no harm to your tree or to you.
No, indeed, your fruit has been of great use to us already,
yes.
And we thank you.
It healed our friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Who has sent you to seek the jars?
The Lords of Shambhala.
The Lords of Shambhala.
Everyone say it together now. Lords of Shambhala.
Shambhala.
One, two, three.
After you tell her the truth, the woman nods looks at the snakes and nods. They return to her, entwining themselves around her ankles, wrists, and upper arms in the manner of bracelets, still keeping a watchful eye on you. With a smile and a nod, she invites you to claim your treasure, gesturing to the soul around the tree.
As in it's opened up, or there's something in the tree trunk, or...?
No, she's like, keep digging.
Keep digging. Okay.
Well, thanks.
Right. Well, then I will ask, is there anywhere we should avoid, or...? I would be very eager not to hurt the tree if I can avoid it.
You can dig around the tree.
Okay, well, if we stray too close or we hurt you, then just say.
What's the safe word? As you begin to dig, you hear her voice. I will see you again soon, undoubtedly. And then she suddenly vanishes along with her snakes.
Is the tree closed again suddenly?
Yeah.
What? Who was that?
I say we continue to dig.
Yes. Yes, let's.
I don't know. Religious figures used to wear more clothes where I came from.
Well, it's colder where you come from.
I guess that's true.
Classic colonial.
If all of these things here in the East are real, what makes you think that the things in the West are not also real? And do you think that all of those things wear clothes and helmets and backpacks and big socks?
Well, I was just thinking of the... I don't know. The paintings and... That's a lot. That's a lot to think about, Timur. Shenshu, let's... She's going to go and sit down in the shade.
Sit down and drink some water.
What a nice tree lady.
Digging, you notice the roots form a small chamber of some sort. Within it, you find three earthenware jars, sealed with what appears to be beeswax.
Is there anybody from the site here, or is it just us?
Just you. Everyone else has gone for now.
Well, this is the point that we call in Eudora to help us get them out in one piece.
Ooh, let me at those jars.
Oh no.
Give me them jars.
Yeah, with all due care and caution, I pry them forth of from the clods of earth and dust them off. Mm-hmm. These are what we in the trade call jars. And just here you see the lid, which are we supposed to open these?
And this is the label. It says raspberry.
What does the note say? Are we supposed to get the contents of the jars or just the jars? I don't want to Pandora's box this.
Seek out the jars that hold the key to locking what should never have been unlocked by mortal hands.
So it's definitely something inside it then, isn't it?
But do we need to open it now or do we wait?
I think we need to weigh up two options. I'm a little concerned that either one, at the sound of breaking pottery, some archaeological fellows are going to dash out of those tents and ask us what the heck we're up to. We tend to take our pottery pretty seriously.
It's just like a wax seal on it that we could dig through with something.
Oh, that's even better. That off.
Good thinking. Yes.
Because if we had what was on our person, one of us might have a knife or something, right? Like a pocket knife or something.
Or there's like a sharp rock, I'm certain, or just a twig.
The wax is brittle with age and crumbles away easily.
We're just talking about it and the dust just crumbles. These jars are sick about shit.
Let's have our 10 minutes of wax chat here, Kiefer. Come on.
Oh, look, it's crumbling. Open it.
It opens easily due to the age of it.
Indeed.
Why, what's this? A key to seal that which should never have been unlocked?
The jar releases the familiar smell of peach blossoms. It contains two sheets of yellow paper, not dissimilar to that on which the Lord of Shambhala left their note.
Oh, my word. I daintily, gingerly unroll them.
The long and narrow sheets are covered on both sides in small, neat handwriting. There are also three images drawn on the sheets, a bell, a strange club-like object, and a triangular mandala identical to the one previously used in the ritual in the Valley of the White Ape.
Do we know if these items correspond with anything that we've heard of before? Like, are they significant in some way to us? Aside from the third item, the mandala, obviously.
The club-like object resembles a bit Tenzin's Katvanga.
Can we remember the triangle symbol?
From the previous ritual.
Was there a bell involved in that one too?
No.
Oh.
Does the bell look like a musical instrument of a sort of Tibetan style rather than a Western style? I'm wondering if we need to go and dig up some more bodies and make more musical instruments.
What the hell would you make a bell out of from a person? Oh. And don't say the obvious.
I'll need a Buddhism roll for a bell.
Come on, Tim Ward.
I've got 17.
That's good.
That's 84, so no.
Nope. No one.
I'd like to try with my incredibly low odds.
Yep, me too.
And I don't have Buddhism.
I could spend 11 points of luck, but I ain't gonna.
Okay. Yeah. Also, the scroll is in a language you do not understand.
Do any of us have any Tibetan?
Tibetan?
You do.
I have 51 points.
And yet you still don't understand it. Because it's not in Tibetan. New language.
Do the letters look like Western letters, or do they look more like Hindustani script?
They're not Latin characters. It looks Arabic in nature.
Okay.
Yeah. It reminds me of my time in Egypt. Not Arabic, though. That'd be too easy.
Could it be Welsh?
The Lords of Shambhala are Welsh.
Yeah. Could we take this to Vidyapati? Maybe he speaks this language.
That's a cracking idea. And yes. Perhaps we can let them have these jars if we take the contents. You know, yes. show of good faith.
Do you think they would try and take the paper from us?
Oh, for sure. Let's not tell the archaeologists about this.
Just that chap. Party.
Yes, he seemed nice.
Okay.
Vidyapati, we have something to show you.
We hold hands and dance around in a circle to summon him.
You have to look in the mirror to summon him, don't you?
Vidyapati.
I see the gods surely led you to the key you've been seeking.
Indeed.
Perhaps.
There was also a woman in a tree.
Oh, he's just coming straight out with it.
I suspect she was a spirit of some sort rather than just a woman.
She was very beautiful.
I regret I missed this miracle.
Sorry, I want to be so childish, but I'll resist.
How can I help you?
Do you read this?
Let me see. He puts it really far away from his face.
He puts it on the other side of the dig site and looks at it.
It blows away in the wind. end of campaign.
Oops.
I'm afraid I do not know this language. Archaeologist on the side, Mortimer, knows quite a lot of languages. Maybe he will know.
What is the chance that he will help us now, given the previous misunderstanding? Could you talk to our good nature for us?
I think perhaps an apology and an explanation could come a long way.
But he will not believe us, will he? I mean, I assume that even you are struggling to believe what we have told you.
Look, I know a thing or two about archaeologists, and I'm very loath to do this, but we could offer to let him keep the original. If we can make a reasonable enough copy just for us to... I mean, we need the contents. He's going to be excited about the container. Those are some very old jars, and this is, you know, priceless artifact. Mystical origin. He's going to want them.
But what if the paper says, burn this paper in a special place?
Well, I think we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
Perhaps we could tell him we'll give it to him once we've finished our work.
Yes,
we are on his dig site.
Yes.
We must know. Will he let us leave with it?
Well, better ways to leave with things.
Still got your gun, Timur?
I wasn't planning on saying that out loud, but yes.
I yell it for Bridget Party.
Mortimer is very excited about his excavation site and all the work he's been doing. Perhaps if your archaeologist friend, Dr. Eudora, tries being nice and complimenting his work, he might be more amenable to helping you. But do not raise your voice. He doesn't like it when people do that.
Right. Yes. I shall keep my head down and flutter my eyelashes. I know his sort. I've been dealing with him my whole career. All right. Let's go butter up this old duffer.
Are you essentially saying that Eudora's going to, like, undo a button and hoik her skirt up a bit?
She's not rocking
but
much.
But in a professional way.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do the equivalent of that, but for his ego. I've not got much in the, like, charm. To be fair, her appearance is pretty good, but if I start popping buttons, I'm going to reveal my lightning scars all over the place, and I don't want to answer questions about that right now.
Networking.
Yes, exactly. That's the corporate term for whoring yourself out.
It's true.
So we pop off in Mortimer's direction, I think.
Yeah.
With Vigipatu in tow, please, just in case.
Okay. Very well.
And we bring him a mango.
Can we adopt him too? Because I really enjoy his voice.
Me too.
I especially enjoyed him eating the mango.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. Turned into some sort of friendly old man version of the Cookie Monster.
Right, on our way over to the tent, Eudora's trying to, like, she's scanning the site to try and get any kind of idea of, like, what's going on here. Try to recall the brief snatches of what she saw in the Fiend's tent before we got thrown out. She wants to, you know, just have, like, a glimmering of what he's doing so that she can be like, oh, it's really impressive the way you're X and Y.
He's cleaning some ceramic pots.
Man after my own heart. Get them good and shiny. That's the way I like my pots. Listen, I think we got off on the wrong foot. Doctor...
That's very kind of you to say. I am in fact only 22. Not yet a doctor, but working on it.
Shan't be long, I'm sure. Man with your obvious talents.
I'm tempted to give you a penalty there for this. Eudora and Hal have a similar characteristic of sounding sarcastic even when they're trying not to be.
Eudora's social skills are not great. I don't think I can, you know, I don't want to overplay my hand here. I can only do what I can. I know a bunch about archaeology, so that's what I lead with. I'm going to try and, you know, I'm not going to try and go with the angle of, like, oh, this beautiful but submissive and demure woman cares about what I'm, you know? I'm going at it with the, like, wow, this, like, knowledgeable professional knows her stuff and she thinks what I'm doing is impressive, kind of, you know?
That's trying to mentor him.
Okay. I don't want to, young men hate that. So I'm not going to woman-splain.
Oof.
Yeah, exactly. Big oof. I don't know, you know, I don't know how self-involved this guy is, so I'm playing it cautiously and assuming he is very self-involved, and I'm just going to try and flatter him professionally. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Can I roll archaeology?
To flatter him?
With my archaeology knowledge.
You can...
I'm going to, like, name drop, like, colleagues of mine who would have been, you know, professors of his. I'm going to try and, like, subtly be like, hey, I've got decades of seniority on you. I've done a load of impressive stuff.
Can't flatter him, but you can roll archaeology to convince him that he has stuff to learn from you.
Okay, that'll do.
But not to flatter him.
Okay, fine. That's fair. Oh, thank God. I can't read dice. I thought it was an 83. It's a 38.
Hooray!
Nice.
That is dead on what I need for a hard success.
Yay!
Okay.
Whoop, whoop.
He says, wow, you know more than some of the archaeologists here do, and that's very impressive.
Well, you know, one gets around, so to speak. I see you narrowing your eyes at me. I've seen a dig site or two.
He starts asking you questions about archaeology very enthusiastically. He says, you know, I'm also a linguist. Do you know any languages?
Eudora has completely forgotten what we're here for when he starts enthusing about archaeological minutiae. And
he
then Shen Chu.
He specializes in ancient languages.
Awesome. Really? I'm more into pots myself. Now, these ones you've got over here.
Dr. Lockhart.
Yes? Oh, Timur, I should introduce this chap. He works at the same university I do, you know.
I do.
I've been grooming him. Timur.
Archaeology is less my specialism than the history of art. But if our friend here is a linguist, perhaps he could assist us, do you think?
With... Oh!
You're literally yes. holding the paper.
Yes, this. How does this ring any kind of bell with you? We're very interested in bells. Flips the paper over.
This appears to be written in Sanskrit.
Is that a fact? You can't read it, can you?
Well, I can try and skim it, but to translate it, it would take me some time. I do know Sanskrit, of course.
Fantastic.
Of course, I know Sanskrit very well. It is one of my specializations.
I should not be surprised. Knowledgeable chap like you. Do you know I've never met a fluent Sanskrit translator? I've never
Sanskrit transcript?
Are you sure it was just a heat I've stroke never... that Eudora has?
I think I need another mango. Sanskrit translator. Say it fast yeah. 5 times.
He says...
It's a manuscript, I mean mango.
Manuscript.
He looks at it and he says, these pages, just from a quick skim, seem to describe a ritual. They call it closing of the way.
Oh,
that's the one.
Does sound promising.
Well, Vidyapati seems to trust you, and I've been told you excavated this from this site right here.
Yes, you know when inspiration just strikes and you just know you've got to dig a big hole over there.
I'm afraid that means that these original scrolls belong to the site. I would be willing to provide you with a translation, but I'm afraid I will have to keep the originals.
Through gritted teeth with wide eyes, Eudora's like, yes, of course. We never questioned that, but we would be oh so grateful for translation.
Really grateful.
Project we're involved in, you know?
You're going to have to give me some time.
Of course.
He takes it and he takes it inside one of the tents, sets it on a desk. He concentrates, and then he comes back to you and he says, I'll need approximately 6 hours to finish translating this.
Let me just roll these mystical dice. 6. Speaking of mystical dice, we should ask about those while we're in here.
You already did.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go so great last time. I take it back.
We'll do you a swap. You can have the scrolls and we take the dice. I will trade you my Pikachu for your Charizard.
Is there anything we can do to assist while you're, you know, heap work? Who am I kidding? We both know you're eager to translate these ancient finds. But, you know, anything we could assist with. Catalogue, some pottery for you or whatnot.
I suppose you are an expert, so it wouldn't hurt. Feel free.
I'd be very happy to help. In exchange for a spot of lunch, perhaps.
Yes, there will be lunch coming at some point, I'm sure.
Fantastic.
How do we feel about you letting me know what you do and fast-forwarding 6 hours?
I look at pots and eat lunch.
The
what
same.
What does everyone else do? Yeah. I don't think you would let anyone who's not an archaeologist try to catalogue stuff, but you can watch Eudora do it.
I try and sweet-talk them into letting Shen Chu assist at close quarters.
I will probably just try and keep Vidyapati sweet, to be honest. And if there seems to be anything that, you know, like people carrying heavy stuff, like try and be useful.
Okay. 6 hours pass. No, Frederick also. Sorry,
no,
Frederick.
No, it's okay. He does stuff.
He does stuff too.
Tries to find some more tree ladies.
Frederick antagonizes people and fashions a rudimentary ukulele.
Frederick is probably there poking the mango tree, as they say. As kids say this day.
Come back. I'd like to see the woman again.
My dream lady.
Have there been women in all the trees?
6 hours pass, and you are handed a successful translation of the Closing of the Way ritual. This brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, everyone. Brayden, Noxicals, Hal, Lydia, and of course our amazing co-editor, Jason. You've all been the best. And a big, massive thank you to our listeners. You're all exceptional. Your listens, comments, and ratings are incredibly helpful. But if you want a way to support us further, consider joining us over on patreon.com/starsaright, where you get access to episodes a week early. We'll be back shortly to record Beyond the Madness for our Cult Elder and Avatar tier patrons. They get access to behind-the-scenes discussion after every episode, as well as bonus episodes, exclusive Discord channels, and more. Speaking of Discord, you can find an invite link to our Discord community, as well as all of our social media links on our website at starsaright.com. Come join us. Now, farewell, dear listeners, until the stars are right again.